told my people recently, I don't really use those words very often, but I do use them. You know, love you, appreciate these meetings. I appreciate the opportunity to come once again and preach. I don't have a 3 points and an outline today. I just have a concern and something I want to share with the people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'd open your Bibles there, I'm going to read some verses. 1 Corinthians 15. Reading beginning in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, and by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Amen. I want to thank the Lord today for the grace of God, his grace that was bestowed upon me. I can't tell you, I like what Brother Roland Mills said, amen, God is good. I can't tell you so many good things God has done for me, amen. I'm so happy I could eat a peanut butter sandwich too, amen. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I like peanut butter sandwiches, amen. But God has bestowed upon you his grace as well. Amen. If you know Christ as your Savior, and it is not in vain. The grace of God in your life is not in vain. God has a plan. God has a purpose for each and every one of us in here this morning. And as a result, it says we labor. We labor. We're to work hard. We're to stay faithful. We're to keep serving God. Yet not I, he says, but the grace of God which is within us. Amen. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us, the Scripture says. Amen. So I am what I am this morning by the grace of God. I'm telling you, I can't even tell you how. There's not words to describe how much God's grace has been poured out in my life over the last many years since I've been saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm a child of the King this morning. Amen. And I have some things against this new, I don't know what they call it, progressive reform. That's the word they use. Reformed Christians. Reformed Christianity. This reformed theology that I see some of our young Christians, I heard some young girls talking about some of these reformed Christians and their theology. They use grace as an occasion for the flesh. They use grace to justify their loose morals and lifestyles. And many of these reformed Christians are, you know, they don't want to be like their parents. They may have some great godly parents, but they don't want to be like their parents and their, you know, stuffy old traditional hymn-singing church. Well, I'm telling you what, I love the hymn-singing church, amen. I'm glad you do too, praise the Lord. I've enjoyed it here this week. They rebel against authority just because there is authority. And my friends, that's not grace. That's rebellion, amen. That's rebellion. And they rebel against established religion, and they don't like to listen to what mom and dad says. But Ephesians 6:1 is still in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we're to honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. They think they're no longer under the law because they're under grace now, and therefore they're not subject even to their parents' faith. And they say we can do anything we want. We're not under the law. We're under grace. This is the age of grace, isn't it, preacher? You know, and so we're in the church age, aren't we? And that's the age of grace. So I can do whatever I please. And so they somehow now can justify going out and partying and drinking alcoholic beverages and smoking tobacco products because they're under grace, right? And that's what many of them think. I'm on the Ask the Pastor program. It's only shown in about 120 countries of the world, but you can't get it in Rochester, New York. Isn't that funny? But I'm on the program. I enjoy it. I've been on it for at least 10 years. It's a live broadcast on Wednesdays. I've been doing every Wednesday, but it'll go to every other Wednesday, I'm sure. And from like 2 to 3 in the afternoon. And I was on the panel just this past week. I had another preacher, Brother Steve Pauley, there with me, and he was observing as I was answering questions coming from the phone with another panel of four other pastors who could be pastors from anybody, any place, anywhere, and different denominations and things. And we got talking about, question came in about alcohol. You know, why did Jesus serve alcohol at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, if he says some things about alcohol, against alcohol in the Old Testament? And all the panel got to answer the question, and four of the pastors all said, well, basically it's all okay. I mean, we're under grace, and it's Jesus made it to, he can drink it. He wanted people to be happy at the wedding feast. It's social drinking, and you know what that is? That's a new reform theology coming through. And I got up and I gave him and none of them gave a verse at all. I gave him about 12 verses where I said it's wrong, it's not good. He didn't do that. We don't promote that. I don't drink, and I preach against it. And Brother Smalley after the program said, well, I think I can answer the questions. He said, but those other pastors, I don't know about those guys. I said, I don't know either, brother. I don't know either. It's that new reformed theology. They think they can be a good Christian and still listen to their kind of music. Their kind of music. You know, rock or rap or whatever. I don't even consider rap music. Maybe you do. But my Bible speaks of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what I like to listen to and promote. The Reformed theology, they think they can witness for Jesus by sporting their new tattoos. You know? I can witness for Jesus. Look at this tattoo I got on my arm here, on my shoulder, on my whole arm, you know? You know, that sort of thing here. And it's body art. I forgot. Body art. That's the politically correct term. And some of you are making scowls at me right now. I see that because you're sporting one of those. Well, I'm telling you, I choose to be a witness for Jesus and not get one, all right? Amen. Amen. You know that people like to mark, this is grace, right? We can mark up our bodies and, you know, multitude of body piercings and, you know, all kinds of stuff to be a witness for Jesus. I choose not to do any of that and still be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Reformed theology says they can dress and go to church in whatever way they want, but so they can be comfortable. So they wear their faded out jeans with big holes in them. Or they wear their jogging suit to church. Or they wear their pajamas. I swear they're their pajamas sometimes when people come to church. They wear the pajamas. They wear these, the women wear these provocative clothing with low necklines to church. People, these little scrawny kids wear these big triple X sweatshirts and pants hanging down and, you know, hat backwards. And I think the wise old retired military guy got it right on the YouTube when he said, pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Listen, they don't think twice about shacking up either with their, you know, Christian friend of the opposite sex. Or having children out of wedlock because all the Hollywood crowd does that, you know? The age of grace, we're reformed Christians. You know, we've got liberty, we've got freedom to do whatever we want. Well, I've got something I just want to tell this crowd, all right? I don't think you're the reformed crowd at all. I just want you to be aware of them and stay away from the reformed Christianity crowd. Look with me in Titus, if you would, chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, Can I tell you what God says in His Word about grace? Can I give you a little sound advice? Titus 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining or stealing, being a thief or something, you know, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness, and that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace, look in verse 11 now, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Did you know that grace teaches us a few things? And this is what I wanted you to see. Grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. The Bible tells us, particularly in the Scriptures, that we are to deny ungodliness. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, the Scripture teaches. We are to deny ungodliness. We are to deny worldly lust. We are to reject it. We are to refuse it. We are to say no to the flesh. Amen. And flee, and take that opportunity to flee the very appearance of evil. We're to have some self-control in our lives. We're to live soberly, grow up, be sober-minded, be mature in the world. My mom used to tell me growing up, use your head for something other than a hat rack. Amen. Be sober, live soberly, live righteously. My Bible says the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Amen. And live godly. Amen. We have a New Year's resolution in our church. We start out, you know, people have themes and you know, that they go with, and I'm jealous of them because I can't think of them. But we start out with a New Year's resolution, and that was this: be ye perfect. I mean, most people that make New Year's resolutions can't keep them. Amen. Well, we're gonna set our standards real high. You know, a low aim never hits a high mark. So we set them real high. Be ye perfect. Jesus said, is my Father in heaven, which is perfect. Amen. And so, as you can tell, we still have a lot of work to go here. But that's something good to shoot for. Amen. And you're not going to do it living the Reformed faith. In fact, forget the Reformed theology and try repent theology. That works a little better. Amen. Amen. You know, the Scripture says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is no. God forbid. God forbid. And so there is still such things in your Bible as sound speech and sound doctrine and Bible principles and Bible precepts and biblical standards and biblical convictions. And there's also exceeding great and precious promises that are found in the Word of God. And so 2 Peter 1 says, add to your faith. Keep going, growing as a Christian. Amen. Be a better Christian. Be more perfect. I know you can't, we probably can't be sinless, but we can learn to sin less, more and more as the days go on, all right? So go forward in your Christian life. Don't use grace as an opportunity and your liberty in Christ to take steps back and do what the world does and says is okay and acceptable. Go forward. Be more Christ-like in your life. And instead of, you know, rewriting the Bible, reread the Bible, all right? And verse 13 says, and we'll end with this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. Grace is not an excuse. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace teaches us some things in the Bible. And it doesn't sound like this Reformed theology to me. It teaches us that we need to have a closer walk and a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Amen. Thank you for being at Youth Ablaze. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share some things from the Word of God.